A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kuf Chav Ches, Baba Basra 128a, pagination is 255. We're going to be dealing with cases that a person cannot say testimony for the other person, even though he is totally a good witness in and of himself, but because of the relationship to the other person, he won't be able to say testimony, focus particularly on family relationships, the family tree, what is the relationship one person to the other. Now, keep in mind that there is another type of psul, where also the person is a totally good witness in and of himself, but because of a reason, he won't be able to say testimony. And that is something called hana'a bedavar. A person has a benefit in the topic. And in that case, we're worried, mishum achshad, we're worried that he might lie. And if he can be misalek himself from benefit, if he can declare himself separate from that benefit, then he would be able to say testimony. We encountered such a concept in the case, Rachmana Litzlan, where a Sefer Torah is stolen from a community. So every person in the community, even if they witnessed and the theft was in broad daylight, but they're all with a hana'a to get that Sefer Torah back. If one of the people would be misalik themselves, you need two edim, two of the people would be misalik themselves, they would be able to say testimony. If they would, for example, say that they would only daven in the other shul type of concept, that there is a second shul to take off the negius, then they would be able to. And such a concept is mentioned in Choshen Mishpat Simen Lamed Gimel Tesvav. If Yochel Lehistalek, if the person can remove himself, then he's going to be able to say testimony. In our Gemara, we're dealing with family relationships. And in such a case, the issue is not that we're worried he's going to lie. That may or may not be a concern. Our concern is that there is a pasuk that describes the person being able to say testimony, v'u'eid ora o yada im lo yagid, that there's a relationship between seeing and saying the testimony, and we're told that the person has to be able to say the testimony as far as the family relationship goes, or any other psul that intrinsically affects him. He has to be able to say the testimony at the time that he saw it. He has to be removed from this psul, and at the time that he says the testimony, he has to be removed from the psul. And the chiddush that we're going to encounter is that in the interim, in between, it could be that he was pasul, but he became blind in the middle. He got married into the other person's family in the middle. But as long as the beginning and the end are kosher, he's going to be kosher. Let's take a look at the start of the sugya regarding family relationships. In the beginning of a line, almost halfway down on the page, Mar Baravashi Ichshe Ba'aba Da'aba, Mar Baravashi said that a grandfather to a grandson and vice versa would be kosher to say testimony, V'les Hilchus HaKemar Baravashi, and we do not paskin like Mar Baravashi. Now, the Rashbam tells us we don't paskin like Mar Baravashi, and descendants ad elef doros, even to 1,000 generations, would not be able to say testimony. Tosfos tells us that that's not the interpretation of the conclusion of our Gemara. Mar Baravashi said that a grandfather to a grandson is okay. We reject that. A grandson is not okay to say testimony, but not like Rashbam says, ad elef dodos, forever, a great-grandson, etc. Ve'eniru l'ri, four lines up in the Tosfos. Tosfos does not agree. Kevin de'ispalik dora kol kach, if it's separated so much, then you are allowed to say testimony. Indeed, that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Beyond a grandson, it becomes permitted. That's the expression in Parshas Vayera that Avraham said, Ulenini ulenechti. He made a covenant for himself, his child, and his grandchild. But beyond that is not Rachmei Ha'av. It's a different type of relationship. And in the laws of Psulim as well, it's not going to have an impact. Recently, a gadol was nifter. He was over 100 years old. And one of the interesting comments that was made about a person who's that old and was blessed with such a beautiful family, so many, many children, grandchildren, I believe great-grandchildren of note, was that at a certain point, he no longer recognized the younger children. That's partly, it's not just because of the number of children that he was blessed with, but also to a certain extent, the fact that they're distant. It's not the same relationship. And we're told after a grandchild, such a thing would actually become permitted. Testimony. Let's drop down to about 12 lines from the bottom. At the end of a line, Haya Yodeya, and we're going to see the Gemara's presentation of other types of psulim where the person himself becomes pasul, and the law is that we need him kosher at the time that he saw and kosher at the time that he says the testimony. Again, a reminder, this is different than a person who's described as hana'a bedavar, that his negius is because he has a benefit. He has a benefit. So even if he saw it at the time that he was pasul, if he could be misalik himself, as long as he's kosher at the time of telling the edus, the whole issue was mishaker. We were worried he was going to lie. And if he could take that away, he'll be kosher. Over here, we're discussing cases where it's not necessarily true that he's going to lie. That's not our issue. It's simply that he's pasul because he's a karov. If a person knew testimony before he became someone's son-in-law, and then he became the son-in-law, he was a person who was able to hear normally, and now he can't hear normally. He's deaf, and we can't communicate with him properly. Piteach v'nestama. He was a regular, vibrant person, able to see, and then he became blind. Shafoi v'nishtata, a regular, intelligent person, and then he became mentally impaired. Pasul, these are all pasul. As we mentioned, we need the person kosher to say edus. Aval haya yodea lo be'edus achelo na'asa chosno. If a person knew testimony before he became the son-in-law, v'na'asa chosno, and then he became the son-in-law in between, umesa bito, and then the daughter died, so that now he's no longer a son-in-law. Rashbam says, and there are no children from that union, but in halacha that's not required. Pikeach v'nischaresh, a person who was able to hear, he became deaf, v'chozav v'nispakeach, and now he could hear again. Piteach v'nistama v'chozav v'nispatach, a person was able to see, he became blind in the interim, but now he's cured. Shafai v'nishtata v'choza v'nishtafa, a person who was intelligent, then he became mentally impaired, but now he's back okay. Kosher. He's going to be kosher. Ze'aklal, because this is the rule. Kol shetechilaso osofo bepaslus pasol. If when he saw it, or when he wants to say the edus, he's pasol. Then he's pasol. He can't say the testimony. Techilaso v'sofa bekashrus kosher. But if he started off kosher and he ends off kosher, it's just that in between, at an inconsequential time, he was pasol. That's a person that is indeed kosher. We need him at the time he saw and at the time that he says to be kosher. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat Lamed Gimel Yud mentions that the same ability for a son-in-law to say testimony if his wife died would be the same thing if Giresh es Ishto, if he divorced his wife. Because now he's not the son-in-law. So he saw it before he was the son-in-law. Now they need him as an aid, but in the interim he became a son-in-law. If he divorced his wife, he would be okay to say the testimony. Which prompts the obvious question that if he's a non-Kohen, able to take back his wife after the divorce, why wouldn't he just do that purposely? Divorce his wife, able to say the testimony for his father-in-law, and then marry her again. Now, why he wouldn't do that, it's a little academic to ask the question, because a person might actually not want to divorce his wife. Or his wife might not want to be divorced, even though it's all the money in the world, and even if he promises to marry her again. But it is an interesting question. What would happen if the money was so significant that in order to say the testimony, he divorces her, only to marry her again a few days later? And the answer, of course, is Lefi ra'os enei hadayin, if the judges see a falsehood over here, then they indeed would invalidate the testimony. They're not convinced. Judges have to be convinced by the testimony. But it is important to note that the relationship we're discussing here that is going to invalidate him as a witness is not that we were worried that he was meshaker. It wasn't that we were worried he's going to lie, and therefore the minute he divorces her, he's technically okay, but why aren't we still worried he's going to lie? The reason he was forbidden was because he was a relative. And as we mentioned earlier, there's a difference between worried that you're going to lie, in which case all you have to do is take your financial interest out of the picture, as opposed to a negius, that we need him, according to the Gzeres HaKosov, to be kosher at the time that he saw, and kosher at the time that he says testimony. But if in between, even through his own orchestration, in and out of the relationship, if he's able to do that, it could very well be that it's acceptable. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.